Whatever you have forgotten, you can remember. Whatever you have buried, you can unearth. If you are willing to look deep into your own nature, if you're willing to peel away the layers of not-self you have adopted making your way through the tribulations of life, you will find that your true self is not as far removed as you think. And that quote comes from Meredith Jordan. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. What do we each do with the time that is allotted to us? How much of our lives do we actually experience? How much of the time that we have do we actually do something with? One of the most interesting things we see when we look at the world today, or we look at society today, is to notice how everybody within society is kept in a constant state of distraction. Almost everything that we do is about distraction or entertainment. And really, what is entertainment but distraction? Because a lot of what we do to entertain ourselves is very often not pursuits of knowledge or pursuits of community or working to improve reality. I mean, sometimes it can be, but very often what we do for entertainment is we watch movies, we go to nightclubs, we drink alcohol, we sit in front of the television, we read fantasy novels that are just circle books that bring you back to where you started when you finished the book. And we do a lot of these things to substitute the experience of the person within the book for the experience of our own lives. And that's really the nature of entertainment, isn't it? I mean, you don't do something knowledgeable or in the pursuit of good in order to entertain yourself. Entertainment is what you find a mouse doing when it is on a treadmill in a cage and it is running around on the treadmill to satisfy its need to run around, as mice do. They like to get lots of exercise. They're always darting and running around the place. And so you give them a treadmill to keep them entertained while you keep them in a cage. And because we are a lot more intelligent than mice, well, of course, there may be some who might argue about that, given the current state of the world, but because we are supposedly more intelligent than mice, then they need to give us more creative ways in order to entertain ourselves. And that's why we have an entertainment industry. And really, when you look at it, folks, you'll find that the entertainment industry is one of the biggest industries in the world. I mean, look at the scope of entertainment that we have. We've got football, we've got all forms of sport, we've got televisions, movies, go-kart tracks, mini-golf, iPods, Xboxes, video games, a plethora of pop stars and musical genres to choose from. Theme parks where they put all forms of entertainment together and charge you money to go in there and basically do nothing and eat terrible food all day. Anything that can be provided for you that they believe will work, that can be used to distract you from who you are and to prevent you from ever being in such a terrible position that you may actually have to live your own life and experience reality for what it actually is. All this entertainment ever does is distract you from yourself. And the thing is, folks, that ultimately it's yourself that you're here to experience, not all the other stuff. And even more than that, it is yourself that you are here to discover. Most people never have time to discover themselves because they're too busy out there discovering all of this other stuff, which is not themselves. And the trick is that you need to discover yourself in order to even begin to have any hope of experiencing yourself. And that's what all this entertainment does. It prevents you from ever achieving those two simple goals in life, which are the actual goals of life. But it keeps people distracted from these objectives and keeps them in a place where they are never really noticing their surroundings. And I refer again to the analogy of the mouse on the treadmill. And that is the nature and purpose of the modern entertainment industry. It distracts you away from the true experience of yourself. And we do this when we watch movies. We go through the emotional ride with the person in the movie, and we become the person in the movie, and we immerse ourselves in that reality in order to escape our own. And so perhaps the real question that people should be asking themselves here is, Why is there a need or even a desire to escape their own reality? And the thing is, you can never truly escape your own reality, folks. Wherever you go, there you are. You're always there. Even if you distract yourself from yourself through outside means for a little while, eventually there comes a time when you have to return to yourself. And it's very sad when people get to much older in life before they've turned to look at themselves, because it can be very difficult to find yourself buried beneath all of the stuff that you've collected along the way if you leave it till you're very old. Because we tend to accumulate a lot of baggage, a lot of emotional baggage, a lot of concepts about who and what we are, depending on how we've measured up to the yardsticks that society has provided for us, of course. And so it can be very difficult for some people to really look within and really begin to discover the meaning of themselves and the meaning of their lives and what they've done with the time that's been allotted to them. In fact, if you really look at it, folks, what you could say is that one of the things our society does is it serves to remove us from ourselves. And once it's done that, it removes us of other things that make us who we are. Like, it removes us of any real self-responsibility. Well, we are responsible for our actions, but we're not responsible for our place in the world. We have other people look after that for us in the form of political parties, whether it's Liberal, Labour, Republican, Democrat, Green Party, Conservatives, whatever. But we elect one of them into a position of so-called power, and we let them run our lives, and we let them run our society. And we don't really take responsibility for the world ourselves, because we're taught that taking responsibility for the world means you have to vote for one of these particular faces that they put on the theatre of the absurd that we call modern politics. And we believe that because we voted for one of these faces, then we have made a difference. We are helping the world go in a different direction. But what we fail to see, folks, is that all of these political parties are all financed by the same people. They all have ultimately the same objective. They just put a different face on it to give the people the illusion that they have a choice and the illusion that they're making a difference by voting for one particular side of the coin. When really nothing could be further from the truth, folks, because voting is simply theatre. It's theatre for the masses to give the masses the illusion of choice. That's all it's for. Because really what we are living in is a functional rotational dictatorship. I've said that before. It's essentially a corporate system that we're living in, and all we do is elect a new CEO who has a slightly different plan for running the company than the guy before him, but ultimately, he's running the company towards the same directive and the same agenda that the other guy was, because they all have the same agenda, and this is regardless of which government you're talking about, folks. They all have the same agenda, and that is one of globalization. And look, globalization wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing if it was done in the correct way. I mean, Lord knows we could certainly use a little bit more common unity and a little bit more equality in the world, and that's why the concept of globalization is actually quite appealing to a lot of people. And as I said, globalization would not be a bad thing if it was done in the correct way, but what we do not want is globalization as it is being presented to us in its current form by the powers that be, simply because what we are being presented with as globalization is in fact corporatism. It's all based on a system of commerce, and I've done shows where I've talked about how the human experience has been reduced to commerce, and this is what's basically wrong with the world. So when you understand that this is how it works, and what we're actually living within is a corporate system that has been designed in such a way that humanity is the most expendable thing within its parameters, then you see the dangers of globalization in its present form, because what commerce-based globalization will do will be to discard most of humanity in its natural process of consolidation. It simply can't do anything else but make itself more efficient, and this is, of course, done at the expense of mankind in order to support the economic model. So that's what's wrong with globalization in its present form. Many people can't see this. They don't see how it works because they're not aware that they have had their life reduced to commerce. They think it's quite natural for them to be performing commerce all the time. But commerce is commercial activity. You're basically a commodity, you're a product, and you're always involved in commercial activity if you're operating within the parameters of this system. And that's your life. That's what you've been reduced to. So when you look at it this way, you can see why globalization, commerce-based globalization, would be so detrimental to mankind. It may be a very efficient system and may have very, very sharp, squeaky clean economic parameters, but it will be good only for the system and not for the people that the system was supposedly designed to serve. So you really need to step back and look at this, folks, and see what globalization actually is. And as I said, we do need some more equality. We do need some more unity. We do need a little bit more compassion in the world. And this is the reason why globalization looks so attractive to the masses, to the mainstream people living in suburbia, because they can only view the world from a perspective of commerce, even though they don't even realize that that's the way they're viewing it. And of course, you can't blame them, folks, because they're only viewing the world this way because it's the way they've been trained to view the world, because that is the belief that our scholastic and social systems are designed to instill within the minds of the people. And you see, this commercially based reality also itself functions as an enormous distraction for the people that operate within its parameters, because people are kept so busy on the treadmill that they've never got time to find themselves. And really, that's what it's all about. It's about keeping people from the discovery of themselves. That is the most important thing that this system can accomplish. And it's by doing this to people that this globalization process has been able to unfold the way it has and continue along, always moving in a very fixed direction. And look, a lot of people know that it's there now. A lot of people know how the world is run. They know that there is a shadowy hand, but they don't really know what this shadowy hand is. And really what it is the system itself. What the shadowy hand is corporatism, the underlying corporatism of the entire planet. But people are constantly given little rabbit holes to go down, the Illuminati, different families to research, the banking system, all of these things, which are all simply parts of the mechanism, parts of the construct. And they go off fighting one of these symptoms, believing that they're actually attacking the system. But they're not. They're simply fighting one arm of it, one strand of the web, because it is like a web. And the web is the corporate system itself in all of its aspects. And it's because it's all commercially based. It's all based in commerce. Everything that happens within this system, everything that happens in your life, everything that you have, everything you're able to do, it's all based on whether it's commercially possible for you to do, because it all requires a transaction. Everything that you do requires commerce. And that's the basis of the whole thing. That's the glue that binds it together. And so that's why that system needs to be addressed. It's the whole commercially based reality, the whole way reality is structured to always support the economic model. That's the problem. And so it's no good really addressing all of these different strands of the web. What you have to do is look at the glue that holds it together and realize that all you really have to do to get out of this commercial world is start treating each other with respect and start treating each other as you would be treated yourself. See, that's the key to the whole thing. And that's one of the most important things that this system has taken away from us. But ultimately, all of these systems are designed simply to distract people. The whole commercial system is designed to not only enslave you, but to distract you so that the noose can be further and further tightened very, very slowly until eventually humankind is reduced to the state of a robot, virtually. And that's what is going on. And all of the distractions are provided to prevent people from noticing that this is what's going on. This is why all the rabbit holes are provided for people to go down as well. Go and look down all these rabbit holes and conspiracy theories and this and that, and look at different aspects of the mechanism and always work to fight one of these different strands of the web, one of these symptoms of the problem. The problem ultimately being the disempowerment of mankind and the fact that mankind has no real idea collectively of who and what we are and what we are capable of being. And we have been trained to hand over our power to someone else, hand over our power to servants that we elect to do the opposite of what they're doing. people who are essentially public trustees and who are all operating in breach of trust. And folks, if you believe that we're not living in a world where our politicians are operating in breach of trust, I'd have to direct you to the case of Robert Hayes in England, who was recently arrested on tax evasion. He was challenging the taxing system. He was attempting to do it under common law. And he was also involved in a lot of community activism. He was actually arrested in his home at 8:30 in the morning, tried, convicted, and jailed by that afternoon in a secret trial with no jury. And nobody even knew what had happened to him until his family got a call that night or that evening to inform them that he was tried, convicted, sentenced, and jailed all that day before his family even knew what was happening. So there was no chance of any defense for the man. There was no chance of anything. They simply came and took him off the street, and now he is languishing in jail. And this is in a so-called democratic country. And this has been done, folks, by the criminal cabal that has basically infiltrated all of our governments and is now writing whatever pieces of legislation they want, claiming it to be law, and using it to override the natural rights of the people. These are public trustees, folks, who are operating in breach of trust. That's exactly what they're doing, and they're getting away with it simply because of the disempowerment of the people, and this disempowerment is able to happen due to people being distracted in all that they do, people never being given the chance to stop and look at life, stop and look at themselves, look at the value of themselves and the value of other people, and really look at the system that we are allowing to control our lives from a realistic perspective. And this sort of thing is the result of the lack of attention that people are paying to what their servants, the public trustees we elect, are actually doing with the power that we grant to them. And of course, folks, the only people who can actually rectify this situation is the people themselves. It's us. We have to realize where we stand in the food chain and stop allowing ourselves to be distracted and pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to each other. Pay attention to what these public trustees are doing with the power that we give them and take some sort of positive action to address this problem. And I believe the most positive action we can take is to put the common unity back in community, and to stand as a community and address the situation of the breach of trust that is being committed by these public trustees. Because the result of the breaches of trust that have been exhibited by these public servants, public trustees, is the state of the world today. I mean, if we had a system that functioned in any way close to what it is supposed to function, and in such a way as the politicians ensure us it does function, we would not have any of the problems that we have in the world today. We would not have any of the pollution. We would not have any of the homelessness, any of the starvation. We wouldn't have things like Fukushima happening. We wouldn't have any of the problems that we have today if these public servants were operating in any way close to the way they tell us they are or the way they should be. I mean, the mere state of the world today and the state of hardship that most of the human race is in is clear testament to the willful and blatant profiteering and breaches of trust that have been shown by the people within the governments that currently hold power on this planet. And not just within the governments, but any ruling bodies anywhere on the planet, the tops of these major corporations that have done all of this damage and allowed it to happen. But I mean, ultimately, it's got to come back to government, doesn't it? Because it's the government who creates the legislation that enables all of these breaches of trust to occur. And if you really look at where this corruption comes from, folks, well, it's an inherent flaw within the parameters of the system itself, because the system is based on commerce. Because money has intrinsic value, it provides scarcity to people, and therefore it also stimulates greed within other people. And that's where corruption comes from. It's because of the intrinsic value that's placed on money, when really what's valuable is the people. What's valuable is the produce. You know, when you look at the value of an apple as compared to the value of a dollar bill, well, the apple is much more valuable because you can eat the apple. You can't eat the dollar bill. So the apple has intrinsic value simply because it's an apple. It has intrinsic value by the nature of the natural value of its existence. But money is just a piece of paper, which is designed to take value away from that which is real and place that value on a piece of paper, which is used to place people in a state of scarcity. That is the sole purpose of money in its current form. And again, folks, it's used to provide not only scarcity, but also distraction, because you're always distracted in your need to collect this stuff. And this is how the global system is being built. This is how the New World Order is being put in place. The global governance system, the system of a universal currency, the system of Codex Alimentarius, control of all food, Monsanto quietly creeping its way across the world, the genetic modification of all of the seed stock and all of the environment, the massive changes that the entire earth and everything upon the earth is undergoing, unbeknownst to themselves or unnoticed by themselves, because of the distracted state of humanity. And everyone's either running down rabbit holes or they're off fighting symptoms. No one's paying attention to the actual problem. Everyone's distracted and given a little legal avenue to follow. Anything they can do to keep people working within the parameters constructed for them by the system. And people run down these rabbit holes and they work within these parameters in the vain hope that they may make a difference, but ultimately they don't, because that's the way the system is constructed. And all people really have to do, I believe, is to step back and view the whole thing holistically and see what the actual problem is. The actual problem is the disempowerment of the people. It's the fact that we've forgotten that our actual relationship with government is that of a trust agreement, and we've been removed of the natural power that we all hold by the beliefs that have been instilled into us through the constant repetition of the scholastic and social systems that we've been subject to. It is a tricky situation, folks, but that's really what we're facing. So what we really ultimately need to do is to find a way to shift this paradigm within people. That's what I attempt to do with these radio shows, is to just chip away at that little paradigm that people hold. Their need for governance, their need to be controlled by others, their need to be subservient to a system which doesn't have their best interests at heart. And I can see, with civilization the way we have and with a social system the way we have, we do need some sorts of systems, we need some sort of rule, perhaps we do need some sort of governance, but it needs to be based in empathy. It needs to be based in mythology that will be good for the people and good for the planet and good for everything, because it's based in empathy. And we need to have an education system which recognizes this and works towards the betterment of humankind and the betterment of life on this planet, not always working towards a corporate line and an economic model, because it is the economic model and the system of commerce that has created all of the problems. Therefore, it is a flawed system, and that can be seen by anybody who chooses to look. It really is that simple, folks. And so that's what I've been trying to do on these radio shows, is gradually just chip away at this paradigm with people. You see, folks, the state of the world today is the natural result of mankind putting a commercial value on everything and basing our whole society upon a system of commerce and upon an economic model that demands permanent growth. Because this can only result in the destruction of the planet and the discarding of those who work within the parameters of the system. And this is so completely obvious. I mean, I know I've said it probably 500 times on the show, but this is so blatantly obvious that that's what needs to be addressed. So it doesn't matter about all of the symptoms. It doesn't matter about who you choose to point the finger at. Unless you're addressing this system itself by disconnecting from it, then you're not addressing the problem. And the way to disconnect from the system is, again, common unity. You've got to have the community become aware of this information, and so the whole community can basically step away from it. And people write and they say, okay, Max, how do I step away from it? Well, the way to step away from it is to realize that it's a trust agreement that exists between you and government. Hold these governments in breach of trust. But again, you need the community to do it. You need the entire community to stand and say, hey, we know what's going on. This is a trust agreement. And the state of the world today indicates a massive breach of trust on behalf of the government. The fact that there's people in the country that are in a state of hardship indicates a massive breach of trust on behalf of the government. The fact that people even have to pay to be alive indicates a massive breach of trust. I mean, think about it, folks. Think about what life could be if you lived in a system based on empathy, where free energy was allowed, and where mankind was allowed to achieve their highest potential and to be all that they could be. Imagine the possibilities that we could have, and imagine the world that we could build. And you just have to look at that and think about it. Just meditate on that a little bit, and think what we could do if we were not enslaved to a system of commerce by our public trustees. Things could be very, very different. And the key to it, folks, is understanding that that's what these people are. They are public trustees. And it's by realizing that they're public trustees that we can find remedy to this situation. But we have to be prepared to stand in our power. And because we are frail, we've been kept in this sheltered state for so very long, we do need the power of the community around us, because it gives us that reassurance that we need and that confidence that we can stand up and make a difference. And so it all comes down to respect for yourself and respect for the people around you. And this is why I've also mentioned this so very often on the radio show. But I think it's break time here, folks. So we'll leave it there for now and go and have a break. It's been a pleasure speaking to you today, and I'll continue in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So in the globalization of the planet that is taking place and the corporatism that is being imposed upon the people, obviously the best remedy is the empowerment of the people. The question is, how can this be achieved? How can people shift their paradigm and begin to know who and what they are? We need people to have pride in themselves, pride in their communities, pride in their nations, pride in their heritage. We need national pride without nationalism. We need pride of race without racism. We need an empowering of spirit within all people. And this empowerment can really only come through self-realization and through all of the things that I just mentioned. People to be proud of their race and be proud of their nation and their national heritage, but not to be nationalistic, not to invalidate or undervalue any other race or any other civilization, to take joy in the differences in people and the diversity of our cultures, because it is so pleasurable. I mean, you don't want to go to some country overseas and find that it's just like where you came from. You want to go and experience the diversity of culture and the wonderful, beautiful nature of the people within each culture. But we have this internationalism that exists now, which is kind of a homogenizing of all of the cultures into this commercial model. And again, what we see here is that how this homogenization has taken place is through imposing a system of commerce upon the people within all of these cultures. Because the system of commerce didn't exist in tribal cultures. It didn't exist in native cultures. There was certain trading and bartering and swapping of food and mutual help and trade amongst each other. But you didn't really have a commercial basis to your entire society the way we have now. Because everything in modern society is commerce. You cannot survive if you do not perform commerce. Even in everyday life, in order to have a roof over your head or to eat anything, you need to be performing commerce. But ancient cultures and tribal cultures never had this. And it is this system that has served to homogenize everybody, because the system of commerce that we use places everybody who operates within that system automatically in a state of manufactured scarcity. And so basically it removes the people from themselves, and it places a commercial value on everything that they do, And then the system provides people with a myriad of false pleasures and false wealth and virtually anything that can be thought of in order to, again, keep the people distracted from ever finding out who and what they are and from ever noticing what's going on around them. And that's the most important part, isn't it, folks? To keep people out of the now. And that's another very interesting thing about our society is that we find most people who live within our society never live in the now. They always are in anticipation for something that's going to happen or in fear of something that may happen, or they are in regret or nostalgia for something that did happen. So they're very often thinking about the past or they're thinking about the future. This is, of course, what is happening when someone holds a grudge with somebody else. This is why grudges are so terrible and anger and revenge is so terrible. When you're in a state of anger or revenge, you are totally fixated on an event that happened in the past and you are in anticipation of the retribution you are going to exact from someone in the future. So you are so far removed from the now that you're missing out on your whole life. You're missing out on experiencing who you are in even a basic manner, because you are in a state of constant anger for something in the past which doesn't exist now. And you are in a state of anger and revenge and retribution for an event that is going to happen in the future, which also does not exist now. And so if you're not now, then where are you? You're torn between the past and the future, and you're in anger and anticipation for something that doesn't exist. And very often people are in a state of regret for things that happened in the past, so they are in a state of mourning for something that doesn't exist. Many people are in fear of what may happen in the future, and so they are in a state of fear and apprehension of something which also does not exist. And when we really look at human psychology, we would call fear or anxiety of any kind towards something that doesn't exist as being insanity. And yet this is the state that we find many people within our society to be in. So what we basically have is a society that functions according to different socially acceptable levels of insanity. And people have been driven to this insane state and this insane reality because they have been forced to operate within the parameters of a system that is essentially psychopathic, which has caused the people within it to forget who and what they are. And so the people are left wandering around in what is virtually a psychological matrix that they believe is reality, all designed to prevent them from ever finding themselves in order to perpetuate this system. So this is why I sit back and ask so often where this system came from, because really, when you look at it, folks, it doesn't seem to serve humanity in any way, shape, or form. And I sometimes wonder if humanity could come up with a system like this just on our own, because it's so diabolically clever. And in its current form, if it continues to function, then it can only lead to one possible outcome, and that is the sustainable raping of resources on the planet while maintaining just enough life on the planet to continue with the extraction of resources until all the resources on the planet are depleted. That can really be the only possible outcome of the economic model that currently enslaves humankind. And so again, one really must wonder where this system came from. And the question must be asked, could we ever have come up with this on our own? And that's something that I really do think about quite often. I mean, really, when you step back and look at it, folks, you have to ask yourself why society functions this way. Surely it can't all be attributed to greed, to monetary greed, because there's so much more to reality than that. There's so much more going on. And you've got to really begin to see what money is. Money doesn't signify wealth. It's just that we perceive that money is what signifies wealth. But what is wealth is that which is alive. What is wealth is the planet. What is wealth is each other. What is wealth is the fruit of the vine and the vegetables that grow in the ground, the trees, the birds, the animals. Life itself is the true wealth of this planet. So it isn't about the money. It's about the planet, and it's about our activities on the planet. And it's about who and what we are and what we could be. And the questions that relate to our existence. How do we get here, and why are we in the state that we are in? Why is our pineal gland shut down? Why do we experience such a small amount of reality? And why have we constructed a social system which creates the type of destruction that we see in the world today? How could we have come up with this system on our own? Is this what you would have done if you'd been left in charge of anywhere? I mean, think about it, folks. It doesn't really make a lot of sense for us to have come up with a system which is this destructive. It simply doesn't make sense. And even when you look within the parameters of mainstream history, it just seems to be very unlikely that we would ever have come up with the world as we see it today. And you see, folks, the important part in asking such questions is the act of asking the question itself. The fact that the question exists. That's the important part. Because what we really see is that the system that currently enslaves us is the natural result of pathological thinking. If you have systems of control, like a system of monetary control, a system of business control, a system of media control, and it's all designed to function in a corporate manner, and it's all designed to function according to commerce, who can control the flow of commerce better, then naturally these organizations each get fatter and fatter and fatter until they begin to overlap. And so you see an overlapping conglomerate until you end up with one global corporation that acts and thinks pathologically and serves only to make itself more efficient. And you look at the business parameters that we operate within. Look at the parameters of any business. Look at the way a corporation functions. It's all about the bottom line. It's all about increasing efficiency by using less labor to make more profit. When you use less labor and you use cheaper products in order to create more profit, of course the quality goes down, because the bigger the corporation gets, the less competition it has, and so therefore a reduction in quality is the natural result. So of course the quality of the products is reduced and reduced and reduced, which thereby affects the consumers of the products, especially when we're talking about things such as food, because the quality of the food in the supermarkets these days is dramatically reduced from what it used to be many years ago, because it's far more efficient, commercially efficient, to not spend a lot of money growing your food, to maximize profits as much as you can. And so, of course, the quality decays, and so you find the consumers of these products end up sicker, they end up stressed, they end up in a state where they're feeding another industry, which is the pharmaceutical industry. So it's all designed as a production line, and it's all designed to replace the human experience with commerce. That's the way the whole system's been done. Even your health is now commerce. We've seen big drug companies lately being sued because they've been found to be bribing doctors to hand out prescriptions to people who don't really need the prescriptions, because for the drug companies, it's not really about curing people, it's about prescriptions. It's about getting their drugs sold. That's all they're really interested in. And of course, in order to sell their drugs, they need to have sick people. So how do you create sick people? Well, you feed them food which is going to make them sick. So this is why you find the Food and Drug Administration. It isn't just one, it's the food and drugs, because they control the food in order to get you to need the drugs that they would like to sell you. So it's a very clever system, folks, and we really need to step back and look at what's going on here. Look at how humanity is being manipulated and realize what we're capable of. Because things are certainly escalating, folks. We've got the carbon tax being introduced here in Australia. We've got the imprisonment of Robert Hayes that I talked about a little bit earlier, which is blatant totalitarianism right there in a British court, and clearly demonstrates the blatant criminality of the British court that did this to Robert Hayes, and therefore the blatant criminality of the entire British legal system. We're seeing the introduction of body scanners at Australian airports later this year as well, and these will be mandatory, I believe. There will be no way to opt out of the body scanners. Either you get microwaved or you do not fly. So it's fortunate that I'm going overseas when I am, because it doesn't look like I'll be able to leave the country after then, because I simply will not allow myself to be microwaved before I board a plane. We saw President Obama attempt to introduce Bill H.R. 300, which I believe contained a clause which would have required people to have a microchip implant in order to receive Obama's health care package. I don't think that bill made it through, but I believe there was an attempt to get that through. So that shows where they wish to take it as far as that goes. So eventually you will need a microchip in order to get any type of health care. And of course, once they've got the microchip in you, then they can start using it for other things such as a cashless society. So you can see how all of this is being put into place. And of course, all of this ties in with the satellite grid that's being put in place. And you can really see where the system is going, folks. Of course, the global satellite grid performs a lot of other functions as well. Bill Gates has been talking about using a satellite grid to control genetically modified seed crops around the world, which he claims would be a good way to prevent world hunger. But of course, Bill Gates is a major contributor to Monsanto, and we know what Monsanto's goal is, and it certainly is not to prevent world hunger, but rather to control global food production. And so again, we can see how this control grid is being put in place. And this is all part of this whole globalization system, folks. And all of this is happening due to the distracted state of the people within our society. People's continuance of running down rabbit holes, looking for people to point the finger at, looking for someone to blame, looking for someone to perform mass arrests as if that will help anything. People continuing to view alternative research and government corruption as some kind of spy novel. And because of people's failure to look within themselves and see the power that they all inherently hold. The power that we have individually to change the world if we would only unite as a global community. And we need to do this by, as I said earlier, folks, uniting within our respective communities, seeing the value in ourselves and the value in our neighbours, the value in other people, uniting ourselves as a strong, vibrant community and having pride in our nation and in our heritage and in who and what we are, but also respecting that pride in other people, seeing the world as being joyful and wonderful in its diversity and standing together as one people of many cultures. That is how I believe we can change the world. But it's got to start at home, and it has to start with self-realization. Love and acceptance of yourself and acceptance of others. We still have a long way to go. Of course we do. But ultimately, I believe that we make it through what is to come. But we're certainly in for a hell of a ride yet. We are at a very important transitionary period here in 2012. I believe that it's almost like the point of no return. And that's why we're seeing such a huge ramping up of all of these totalitarian measures. You see, they've managed to keep people distracted with the 21st of December 2012 date for so long now that people have basically sat back and waited for the world to change. And they've done very little in the last two or three decades except talk about the problem. They haven't actually put much action into changing anything. They've just talked about the problem and they've just waited in anticipation for the December 21st date to arrive to see if the world was going to change. And they've been kind of distracted by this date. But meanwhile, in the background, the people who are in control of things in very high places have been working diligently to ensure that the world will change on that date, but it will not change into what people believed it was going to change into, because what they've been doing is they've been putting this totalitarian system in place little by little, all the while, and they've been doing it while people have been completely distracted from what's going on around them. People only see the little symptoms, they only see the strands of the web, but they don't see the spider sitting in the middle, and they don't see the entire web. They don't step back and look at the bigger picture and view the world in a holistic fashion. And that's what's needed for people to do. Because when you really do, when you step back and you look at the nature of the education system to begin with, I mean, why doesn't the education system teach children to be empowered? Why does it just teach them business functions and how to do the paperwork and how to function as a useful cog within the machine that is the modern business world? Why doesn't it teach people self-expression, self-exploration? Why doesn't it teach people compassion, empathy? Why doesn't it create entrepreneurs? Why aren't people climbing over themselves and rushing to get to school to be educated in the wonders of life? Why is school such a drudgery and such a chore? And why is there a spate of media and subtext and mind control within the movies and entertainment industry which promotes school as simply being a time to party and a time to get laid, and certainly not a time for education? Because all this type of culture can result in is a dumbing down of the population and a removal of the empowerment of the people. No wonder people don't want to go to school and get educated, because when they go to school, they don't get educated. They get trained. They get indoctrinated. That's what the education system is for. And then they enter a social system where they're taught that it's all about stuff. It's all about how much money you've got, how much of a flashy car you've got, what jewelry you wear, what suburb you live in, and who you get to hang out with. And so, again, we see complete distractions from the individual ever discovering who and what they are, and discovering the meaning of themselves and the meaning of their life, and discovering what life is ultimately about. And because they're kept in such a state, of course, they never have time to look and to notice what's going on around them, because it doesn't matter to them, because all they want is something good for themselves. All they want is to feel empowered, because this whole system has left every single individual feeling disempowered. You get people that are millionaires, successful people that have everything they could possibly want, who are completely miserable because money does not buy personal empowerment. Money does not buy themselves. All it does is divide them from the people around them. They don't even know who their friends are, because all their friends want to hang around them because of the money, because of the influence. It's very, very difficult for a lot of people. Money certainly does not buy happiness, but all the people who are kept in a state of scarcity will, of course, argue that point, because all the people that are forced to work really hard in their lives wish that they didn't have to work. All they would like to do is be able to sit back and enjoy life. And they don't realize that it's the money that prevents them. And human consciousness has been brutalized by this system. And that's why I find it very difficult to be angry with people, very difficult to show malice or hold any animosity towards people, because I can see even the meanest person is very often in that position because they've been brutalized by this society. They've been trained to think pathologically by a psychopathic system. And it's the system itself that is the problem. I don't blame anybody for reacting the way human beings react when they are put in situations of stress, when they are subject to mind control, when they are disempowered and taught that up is down and black is white and that everything functions in exactly the opposite way to which it does. When people are trained to believe that life is about commerce and life is about exalting yourself at the expense of others, life is about social standing, life is about measuring yourself up to yardsticks. Life is about consumption and the one with the most wins. When people are taught to do anything possible to keep their focus away from that which lies within them and the validity of themselves and the validity of other people, then I can't blame them for the way they end up. But I can see what the problem is, and I can devote my life to helping expose the problem and thereby rectify the problem, because the only way people will ever free themselves from this social system and free themselves from the pathogen that infects human consciousness is to be aware of its existence. And I believe that all that is required for a normal, rational person to be able to do this is for them to take a moment to simply step back and look at the world from a different perspective. And that's what I attempt to bring to people on this radio show. The more mankind points the finger at others and continues to venture down rabbit holes looking for someone to blame, the longer it takes mankind to become aware of the power that exists inherently within each of us, then the longer it will take to rectify the problems that we see in the world. All of the issues that we face, all of the totalitarianism, the body scanners, coal seam gas, the destruction of the water table, every single thing that we see before us is a result of breach of trust, ladies and gentlemen. All of it. Government are public trustees. That is the problem. They get away with what they do because they've taught us not to view them in this manner. They've taught the people to view the government as being all-powerful and of being the rulers of the people, when nothing could be further from the truth. Even when the President of the United States takes office, he swears to serve the American people and to serve the Constitution. When the Australian Prime Minister takes office, she swears to serve the people of Australia. Julia Gillard, the Prime Minister of Australia, even referred to herself and the government as being those who held the country and its resources in trust for the sovereign people of the country just a month ago. And it is in the knowledge of what the relationship that exists between the people and the government actually is that remedy to all of our problems can be found. But in order for us to implement this remedy, we first have to know who and what we are. And we have to respect ourselves, accept ourselves, and respect and accept those around us so that we can stand together. And if we do that, we can change the world in 3 seconds. And we need to do it, folks, because if we don't, then the world will be changed for us. And I don't think that people will be very happy with the outcome. That is it for me today, folks. Thank you for joining me on the show. Thank you to all those who visit thecrowhouse.com, my website. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a donation. It is very much needed and very appreciated. But I will have to leave it for now because I'm completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Cache.